Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Dr. Lee Cowden, who is the author of many books. Today we're going to be discussing Create a Toxin-Free Body and Home Starting Today. Dr. Cowden has been a leader in integrative medicine for many years. I first heard of Dr. Cowden when he was helping women get rid of silicone detoxification procedures. And in fact, we did a radio show probably over a decade ago on that topic. Dr. Cowden is also an expert at mold biotoxins, a subject near to my heart because of all the women who have mold in or around their saline implants. And I've learned quite a bit reading his book to prepare for this radio show. Dr. Cowden, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on today.
So, it's been a little while since you've been writing about detoxification. I know that you've got a book on Lyme's disease, but now you're planning a six-series book, and Create a Toxin-Free Body and Home Starting Today is the first in that series. Is that correct?
Yes, it's the Journey to Wellness series, and the second book should be out another week or two called Foods That Fit a Unique You. And then the third book is Bioenergetic Wellness Tools, and the subsequent ones still in process. But the those three are written in different stages of printing.
Well, you've been involved for many years in integrative medicine, where we're trying to treat patients who have pretty severe illnesses that affect many different things, their endocrine system, their immune system, neurological system, and often they don't just have one thing wrong. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. They're usually a textbook of medicine all in one patient.
Right. And they're very challenging because there's all sorts of things to consider. And I'm really impressed that you have also incorporated spirituality into your approach, knowing that toxic relationships, lack of forgiveness, a lot of the other less physical aspects of disease can really have an effect on people in terms of their immune system.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, what I found years ago is that patients will trap physical toxins in their body in places where they have unresolved emotions and connected spiritual issues. And so if you don't do anything about those emotional and spiritual issues, the patient continues to be toxic and continues to have an internal environment that easily grows microbes and creates inflammation and creates symptoms. So if you want to get somebody well, you really need to go further back into the process with dealing with the emotions and the spiritual issues.
You know, there's been a lot of talk even in mainstream medicine about the role of stress. And I don't know whether it's true or not, but I have an idea about how stress might relate to problems with our health, especially problems with hypertension and, you know, affecting the cardiopulmonary system. What I'm seeing, and this is not something that I've proven, just something I've suspected, is that when people are under stress, they release at a higher level the toxins deep within their body, be it lead, mercury. Of course, mercury can increase blood pressure via its effects on the kidney, and the heavy metals and other deep toxins, once they're released and from deeper in the body and go more into the organs and affect functioning, they can create a whole host of symptoms. And I don't know whether there's any evidence for that, but it seems to me that the patients I have under extreme stress, I had a patient one time who was accused of murdering her brother and was up on trial, and she was eventually, you know, acquitted of that. But certainly that kind of stress is just extreme, and she had a lot of heavy metal toxicity. And I just felt intuitively that the toxins were being released at an accelerated rate and overpowering the immune system, overpowering the, you know, causing hypertension and everything. What do you think about that idea? You think there's some?
Well, I think you're partly right. I think that we're all getting exposed to toxins every day, and we're also all spontaneously releasing toxins every night as we go on mm-hmm. the fast. That's why the morning meal is called the break fast. And
right.
So when you're fasting, you're releasing toxins. And people that are under stress have compromised, not just compromised immune system, but compromised detox organ function. So they get restriction of the blood supply to their kidneys, and they can't get toxins out through their kidneys. They get restricted blood supply to their liver, so the liver doesn't metabolize the toxins as well as it should. So the toxins are piling up inside because of their impaired function of detox pathways, I think.
Oh, that's a good explanation. Would you mention some of the other books that you have so that people can understand your role in new treatments for, or actually holistic treatments for cancer, for Lyme's disease, and some of the other things before we get started in this particular book?
Sure. Yeah. In 1996, I wrote co-authored the first book, which was Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide to Cancer, and that was an 1,100-page book with 2,000 references, and took better part of a year to write. I was on sabbatical, so I had nothing else to do except write. So it was a major task, and that was used actually in some of the medical schools as a textbook for integrative oncology treatment for some time. And there's many things in that book that are still applicable today. Obviously, we've learned quite a few new things that you could add to that. But it was such a monstrous book that most people wouldn't read it. It was intimidating. It was a good doorstop, but not most people wouldn't pick it up to read it. So,
well, I read it completely. I thought it was great.
Yeah. Well, I think it was perfect for health practitioners, but it was intimidating to patients. So
right.
a few years later, I wrote another book called Cancer Diagnosis, What to Do Next.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a skinny-down version of that other book. It took a lot of work, actually, to edit it down into a digestible form for the general public. But that one's probably a better choice for your lay listeners, your public listeners. And it's still available through Amazon and places like that. And then a couple years later, I wrote one called Longevity with another doctor. And that was looking at how do we maintain wellness into advanced age.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of components to that, but a big part of it is detoxing on a regular basis, and then another part is eating the right foods most of the time. We live in an imperfect world, so we're all getting bombarded with toxins all the time. We're all tempted with things that we shouldn't eat because they taste good. And if we do enough of that undesirable eating and failure to detoxify, then the toxins build up and the body degenerates, and we end up with the age-related illnesses. But
right.
all that's avoidable if we just mm-hmm. pay a little attention to detail.
And this book you've written now, Create a Toxin-Free Body and Home, really is a detailed analysis of how to do that, not only to detox the toxins you already have, but also not add the new ones. And it's
right.
not just limited to physical toxins. You also talk about electromagnetic fields and toxic relationships and other toxins that have effects as well.
Yeah, I like the people that I'm talking to understand the analogy that I have on page 6, I think, is in the book. But it's the health is like a bathtub. And
mm-hmm.
in this bathtub analogy, the bathtub's completely full of dirty water overflowing onto the bathroom floor. And that dirty water on the bathroom floor represents the symptoms that they have. It's very rare to find a person in this country now that doesn't have at least one symptom. So
mm-hmm.
basically everybody's ill. And at the top of the bathtub on the left side in this drawing, there's dirty water faucets, open, wide open, flowing stuff into the bathtub that you don't really want in there, which is all those things that you mentioned and more, the electromagnetic pollution and the nutrient-depleted foods and radiation, toxic relationships, toxic emotions, tissue acidity, heavy metals, polluted air, antibiotics, pesticides, biotoxins, hypoxia, allergens, and so on. And then on the right side of the bathtub are water faucets that should be open but are turned almost completely off, that would be flowing good water into the bathtub, and that would be healthy foods and nutrients, purpose and will to live, sunshine and exercise, good relationships, peace, joy, and love, great attitude, restful sleep, pure water, fresh air. And then at the bottom of the bathtub are drains that should be open, draining the toxic, dirty water out of the bathtub, but are usually, in most cases, blocked off to varying degrees. Constipated bowel, people that are having less than 3 bowel movements per day are by definition constipated and toxic from their bowel. And then toxic liver, toxic kidneys, and clogged up lymphatic system. So in this analogy, in order to get somebody well, what you have to do is open up the clean water faucets at the top of the bathtub, close off the dirty water faucets to the best of your ability, and start opening up the drains at the bottom. And eventually the water level goes down and the water gets clearer and cleaner, and you can see the bottom of the bathtub, and then the symptoms are all gone.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. That's very good. So where do people start? What are some of the things you recommend is most important?
Well, I think that people need to be more aware of food. You know, there's a saying, you become what you eat, and you know, there's a lot of people putting stuff into their body. You know, fast foods, the reason they call them the fast foods is because it speeds you to your grave. But
okay.
The fast foods, the junk foods, are not you know, for the purpose of nourishment, for the purpose of psychological gratification. Mm. And so we're eating for the wrong reason for the most part in this country. The Chinese have said for centuries that we should eat for our health, and if it also happens to taste good, that would be a nice side benefit. Mm. And we say the opposite in this country. But, you know, trying to pick, you know, fresh, you know, vine-ripened or organic, non-GMO foods to eat, fermented and sprouted if possible, but at least organic and non-GMO. And then make those vegetables your mainstay, some fruits at the right time of the day, a nice sweet treat. And then, you know, the if you do some meats or animal source proteins, make sure they're organic for sure, because the meats have about 5 times the number of pesticides as non-organic vegetables, and the butter has about 20 times the number of pesticides as non-organic vegetables. So you're getting your highest load of pesticides from the animal source proteins that bioconcentrate the toxins from the environment. And so if you just stop putting in that part of the toxicity, you help your body a whole lot.
Do you think that our increasing rate of breast and prostate cancer in this country, that is actually not seen in other countries that have a different diet, it might be due to a lot of the estrogens and hormones in the meat and chicken?
Oh, yes. I'm almost certain it is. You know, the steroids in the meats, as well as what we call the xenoestrogens, those are, you know, plastics and other types of chemicals that mimic estrogens, are rampant in our society and creating a lot of disease. And there's recent research out of UK that shows that just the regular mammograms are probably contributing to the breast cancer incidence. So my preference is usually to recommend infrared imaging thermography for women to screen for risk of breast cancer, because the thermography appears to be wrong about 3% of the time, and the mammography is wrong about 50% of the time. So, you know, it's not, you know, thermography is a better test, but also no radiation associated.
Yeah, even the radiologists that I've talked to say that the new digital mammograms have even though they can image cancer a lot better, have quite a bit of increased radiation.
Yeah. But I've followed a large number of women for probably 20 years now using infrared imaging thermography, and we have yet to have one patient that developed full-blown breast cancer that had to have surgical treatment or radiation or chemo. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that's a better way to go, for sure.
Yeah, but you're going to have to educate all the mainstream doctors on how to prevent breast cancer once you see it show up on the thermogram.
Yeah,
because they don't know.
I'd be glad to do that. You know, that's why I work. That's why I work with the Academy of Comprehensive Integrative Medicine out of Panama. We have, you know, online education that can educate doctors. They don't have to go anywhere. They can do that from the comfort of their office after hours, or from their living room at home, and learn a lot of things that they can put into practice in their, you know, with their patients on a regular basis, and it, you know, costs very little, and at least they don't have to, you know, shut down their office and go to a meeting or lose the revenue from their office by being gone.
So what do you think of the American Board of Medical Specialties now offering integrative medicine as a specialty?
I think it's a good start. The problem is that they have no courses. You say, well, how do I study for this thing? They give you a stack of books about 10 inches or 12 inches thick and say, read those. If you memorize everything that's in these books, you'll probably pass the exam. But you know, you take the exam, you have you've gained the didactic knowledge about the stuff that's in the books, but it doesn't say that you know squat about how to treat a patient practically,
right,
with the information that's in there. So that's what the Academy is about, is developing a full fledged integrative medicine fellowship that will have practical exams and practical teaching.
Well, that's great. I wasn't even aware that was available. So
yeah, we're just now starting it. So you know, the reason that I was motivated to do that is because, you know, some of the practitioners that went through the program out in Tucson, Arizona, spent a weekend, I think, every month for 2 years, disappointed, disillusioned with the program because they didn't feel like they got that much useful information out of it and how to, you know, apply that every day to their patients in the practice. So
yeah,
we're gonna do it a different way.
Well, that's great. I applaud you for that effort, because there currently is quite a deficit in education. A lot of people like myself just started doing things pretty much because I interviewed authors on books and just started trying things out. But still, you know, things like blood irradiation, ozone therapy, IV hydrogen peroxide, these are things that I've had Millennium Healthcare practitioners do, like Dr. Genn, who, you know, Mitchell Genn was here for a while. So I saw them being done. But it really takes stepping out and perhaps in some cases even risking medical board actions to practice some of these modalities.
Yeah, I don't know how many practitioners listen to your program, but for those that are listening on that topic, I would strongly urge them to establish, for those procedures that might get them in trouble with their licensing board, to establish an institutional review board research protocol for their office, which they can do without, you know, tremendous effort. And so then for that, those particular patients and those particular procedures, you're not under the review and purview of the licensing board. You're actually under the FDA, and as long as you follow the research protocol strictly, then you usually don't get in trouble with the FDA either.
You know, that's a very, very good very good information. And then you have, like, my patient population, people sick from silicone and saline breast implant problems, you know, immune problems that then lead to a whole host of other critters and intercellular infections, but really started with their breast implants in many cases, at least temporarily. These patients don't have money. I mean, they've exhausted their financial resources. They've, you know, they're out of work. Sometimes they don't have social support. Some are even homeless. You know, we had to do treatments that were not real expensive, you know, that were not, that were, and your book is a good example of, you know, some of the ideas that people can use to clean up their environment and clean up their bodies without, you know, spending a fortune.
Yeah, that was the goal in writing the book, is to make something that was practical that the patients could do pretty much on their own, whether they had the support and encouragement of a health practitioner or not. And there's a few things in the book that we say, well, you know, really should get the help of your health practitioner for this, but most things in the book are do-it-yourselfers.
So the part one of the book is create a toxin-free body, and you go through a lot of different things, you know, eating food that's not toxic, drinking water that's not toxic, you know, taking a look at pharmaceutical drugs. Let's talk a little bit about dental amalgams, because that, I mean, I ended up with 14 dental amalgams, massive mercury toxicity, and, you know, I had a real bad problem with that, and then breast implants on top of that. So dental amalgams are a lot more dangerous than people know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the experts on mercury worldwide say that there is no safe level of mercury except for zero in the body. And so we have the American government, or the U.S. government, saying that you know, that we should, that the dentist should handle silver mercury amalgam material before it goes in your mouth, like a nuclear reactor material, only in a biohazard container.
Wow.
And then after it comes out of your mouth, it also needs to go into a biohazard container. But while it's in your mouth, the American Dental Association says it's perfectly safe. I think
that's wild.
They're very flawed with that logic. So if you get a mercury vapor analyzer and have somebody chew a piece of gum for 5 minutes, you can measure the mercury in their mouth before they chew the gum, and it'll be perfectly fine in most cases if they have mercury amalgams in their teeth. But after chewing the gum for 5 minutes, the mercury in the air inside the mouth will exceed the Environmental Protection Agency standards for safe air. And, you know, if you take a filling out of a molar, a large tooth in the back of the mouth, and drop it into a pristine lake, a five-acre lake, and come back a year later, the EPA will condemn that lake for the mercury content.
Amazing.
So that's just one filling in one in a five-acre lake, and I don't know anybody that's got 5 acres of water in their body, so it's a scary thought.
Well, we recommend, you know, that patients find a mercury-free dentist and get their amalgams out one quadrant at a time, and use the appropriate detoxification procedures during that time so they don't get mercury toxification during the extraction. The other thing people need to realize is that older fillings typically will crack, and once they crack, that outgassing is not just when you chew gum, it's when you chew anything.
That's right.
And that's a real problem. My fillings actually started to crack, and I got that intuitively that there was a danger, and I asked my dentist to look at it, and sure enough, that's when the mercury fillings came out, because they were all cracking.
Yeah, I was just using gum as an example, but you know, the mercury vapor accumulates in the mouth anytime you chew anything. It actually accumulates in the mouth during the night as you brush your teeth. A lot of people have nighttime bruxism or grinding of their teeth, and so they're getting mercury released into their saliva that they swallow and released into the air that they breathe during the night as well.
And we've had a real good success rate at having patients' hypertension resolve with mercury detox, if that is the cause of it. Doing different things to get mercury out of the body will almost in every case get their blood pressure back down to normal. So it's not really true that essential hypertension exists like we're taught in medical school. Essential meaning we have no idea what causes it. Probably the majority of hypertension, at least currently, is something involved with mercury toxicity. And I just forwarded a copy of one of the Physician Watch newsletters to my nurse, who's now pregnant. I saw her eating tuna fish the other day and warned her about the danger of mercury in tuna fish, and she didn't seem to appreciate it. But this particular newsletter says Consumer Reports now is warning all pregnant women not to eat tuna.
Well, not just tuna, it's almost all fish, unfortunately. The mercury content is very high in all the fish of the oceans, and you know, the smaller the fish, the less the problem, so you probably still can eat you know, anchovies and sardines, some, but if you do, even a lot of anchovies and sardines, you end up becoming mercury toxic. So, you know, we need to be, you know, probably raising our own fish in our own greenhouse in the backyard, so that there's no mercury fallout from the air. You know, we get a lot of mercury from the burning of coal in China across the Pacific on the jet stream, and then that rains out into our, you know, farms and yards and so on. And we're also getting massive amounts of radioactivity from Fukushima, Japan, still through the jet stream,
right,
because they're burning,
yeah,
those radioactive contaminated materials over there every week since the accident 3 years ago. And most places in the United States, the air is exceeding 100 counts per minute radioactivity, which, you know, is expected to trigger cancer in a large percentage of the population in less than a year. So it's, you know, we're just poisoning ourselves in this world. Now you can take, you know, things like the Nutramedic zeolite HP if you don't have mercury fillings in the teeth, or zeolite plain if you do have mercury fillings in the teeth, and, you know, mm-hmm, start moving some of those radioactive elements and heavy metals out of the body on a regular basis, and that's strongly advised because the you know, if you let the radioactivity build up, you're going to get cancer. If you let the heavy metals build,
right,
up, you're going to get hypertension and cardiovascular disease and all kinds of other problems. Neurological disease is associated with that. You know, the Alzheimer's, dementia, and Parkinson's, and MS and ALS are all associated with elevated levels of mercury and certain of the heavy metals in the brain.
Yeah, and I've been on zeolite for about the last year, and I wasn't on it before, so I do a lot of things intuitively. So I think I didn't realize until I read your book that zeolite was good for removing radiation, but I'm sure that that is the reason I was guided to go on zeolite recently,
yeah,
relatively recently. Yeah.
Well, the Nutramedic zeolite's been quantum physically imprinted with energies that help to mobilize from the cells, like a homeopathic, the radioactive elements, mm-hmm, as well as the heavy metals. So it is, in my experience, the most effective element that you can take to get radioactivity out of your body.
Great, great. What else can you do to get radioactivity out?
Well, you can take larger amounts of glutathione, take larger amounts of lipoic acid. There's a little risk in taking the lipoic acid if you still have mercury fillings in the teeth, so you need to try to get the mercury fillings out before you take much R-lipoic acid. But I use also properly cracked and clean chlorella, which is algae, mm-hmm, that grows in the ocean to bind metals and, you know, pull those,
right,
out of the body. And, you know, even fibers and clays will take some of the clays of other types will take some of the metals out. You know, zeolite's just a clay, but of a special type. It's like a volcanic, mm-hmm, clay that bubbles up through water and gets little tiny holes in it that mm-hmm, have negatively charged molecules down inside those holes. And so as that zeolite compound rolls down through your gut, it attracts the positively charged items like the heavy metals and the radioactive elements and so on, and then those get trapped inside those little holes and then roll on out into the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most of the zeolites don't have that quantum physical imprint, so the quantum physical imprint will help you to shake loose from your cells the toxic elements that are trapped there so that they get mobilized into the bloodstream, go to the kidneys, into the urinary bladder, into the toilet, go to the liver, gallbladder, dumped into the bowel, bound up in the bowel by the chemical part of the zeolite or the other things that you're taking to bind it there, and then on into the toilet.
Mm-hmm. There's also a LED type detoxification procedure that you describe in your book. Would you like to mention that? That's very interesting.
Yeah, it's something probably that you need to find a practitioner to do. That's one of those few things in there that mm-hmm, probably requires practitioner assistance. When I mm-hmm, co-developed the LED laser energetic detox back in 2001, we were seeing really strong reactions with that, including precipitating seizures and anaphylactic shock reactions and spasmodicus and stuff like,
yeah,
that. So,
yeah,
so we need to have, you know, ways to combat those
right,
those complications. And most general public don't know skills to do that. So,
yeah,
but, you know, since we've been working with it now for 13 years, we've developed different ways to make the process a lot more gentle. For example,
mm-hmm,
combining flower remedies and colors of different types. That goes back, mm-hmm, to the fact that the emotions cause the body to hold on to and trap physical toxins. So if you use the right colors and flowers, then the physical toxins are released more easily from the body and not such a harsh reaction that might trigger a life-threatening event. and then also using the right drainage remedies along with that. But it's an amazing process. I still continually get surprised and amazed by doing laser detoxes on patients.
Yeah, when a couple of my patients with silicone toxicity tried laser detox and got incredibly ill, but then I've had them get incredibly ill also just from having a massage, you know, of the chest wall and axilla. So I would like to, you know, let patients out there know that might be having silicone toxicity that you have to approach many of these procedures with a lot of caution and probably use applied kinesiology or muscle testing first to see, to make sure that they're not going to be harmful. We use a lot of, well, obviously patients get infrared saunas. That's a good method. We use a lot of ionic foot baths. And I don't know whether you've heard of this, but we have electrolysis foot baths. Dr. Overman, a naturopath from Ohio, developed electrolysis foot bath to get rid of hydrophobic chemicals. And a lot of the chemicals in the silicone, of course, are neurotoxins and carcinogens, so they're hydrophobic. A lot of, like, methyl ethyl ketone is one of the highest level, and it, by depleting arginine, can produce Raynaud's disease. And I have virtually 100% cure of Raynaud's with silicone just by removing the methyl ethyl ketone with electrolysis, foot and hand baths, and then using something like extreme nitro or another thing to increase nitric oxide. So that's been helpful. The electrolysis foot bath is a combination of a harmonic quad, which is like the old-fashioned zapper, the foot bath tub, and the ozonator, which you put the ozone in the water. And I know it works because I have a lot of workman's comp patients that come to me that have had chemical burns and been doused in chemicals, and we put them in the electrolysis foot bath, and the entire room smells like the chemical they were doused in. So there's a little question that it gets the chemicals down.
When we were doing the laser detoxes, oftentimes if they've been poisoned by a solvent, you'll smell the solvent coming out into the room, so sometimes so strongly that you can't stay in the room with the patient after you start the laser detox.
Yeah, but, it's very interesting.
Back in the early 90s when I was doing the 7-day rapid cleanse for the silicone implant survivors from Hollywood, we were using, you know, ozonated Kalimas, 4 gallons of ozonated Kalima water twice a day, and it appeared that the ozone was actually oxidizing some of the fat-soluble toxins into into a water-soluble form so that they would actually come out through the bowel and through the skin and so on. That was a useful tool.
So the second part of your book is create a toxin-free home. And, you know, you talk about household cleaning products, carpeting and flooring, furniture, window coverings. But what I'd like to talk about for the next few minutes is mold, because that's what I deal with all the time, the dangers of mold. Would you like to address mold in the house and how common it is?
Yeah, mold issues are increasing all the time, and a lot of people don't know why the mold issues are increasing just over the last couple of decades. But what I've learned is that the mold and fungus in the environment is distressed by the electromagnetic fields in the environment, and they think they're threatened, and so they start growing faster and producing more biotoxins in order to survive.
Interesting.
And so you increase the biotoxin.
Your Wi-Fi,
production.
You know.
Yeah.
Having
so
your Wi-Fi there.
Yeah, so you increase your biotoxin sometimes as much as 600-fold.
Wow.
And that's a huge increase in the mycotoxin production and also the rate of growth of the bugs in the first place. So first step is to clean up the environment electromagnetically because you really have no hope of permanently resolving the mold and fungus problem in the house if you continue to have high levels of electromagnetic pollution.
Well, that's a gem right there. That's very good. I didn't know that. That's fabulous.
So
what do you recommend after that?
So basically, you know, if you it's better to get rid of your Wi-Fi altogether to get hardwired internet connections wherever you're going to use the computer in the house. Wi-Fi is an unnecessary poison in my perspective. Also, the cordless phones are an unnecessary poison, so get, you know, hardwired telephone connections. And when you have the new cell phones, like most people have, the Apple iPhone and the Droids, you're putting out massive amounts of electromagnetic pollution from that. They're always seeking the GPS, and they're always seeking the Wi-Fi's in the area to try to connect. Mm-hmm. And the increase in radioactivity or EMF from those things is about 500-fold compared to the old phones.
Wow.
And so usually it's better just to leave your phone in the airplane mode when you're at home. When you when you turn the Apple iPhone off, it's not really off. It's actually transmitting signals from people that are further from the cell phone tower through your Apple iPhone onto the tower. So it's continuing to work. So unless you put it in the airplane mode, you're going to continue to zap yourself and your loved ones. But one of the greatest challenges we've encountered in the last few years with EMF is with the electric smart meters. Most people don't realize that these new digital smart meters on the side of the house are basically like having a radio frequency cell phone antenna on the side of your house continually transmitting. There is a building owner, an apartment owner in London who was approached by a cell phone tower company and said, "We would like to put a cell phone tower on top of your apartment complex." So they did that, and over the next couple of years, the incidence of cancer in people in the building skyrocketed to 10 times the national average. Wow. And the highest incidence was in the fifth floor, the top floor, and the lowest incidence was in the bottom floor. And that place became known as the Tower of Doom. So when the leases ran out, the people did not renew their lease. So now it's an empty building with a cell phone tower on top.
Great.
And and rightfully so, because you don't want to stay in a place that's got that type of energy. Well, most states have had hearings of the Public Utilities Commission to try to get rid of the electric smart meters on individual houses by the request of the consumer. And sometimes those states have passed laws to make that possible, and other states have not. So, don't know what the status is there in Georgia.
You can get them removed here if you pay $19 a month.
Yeah. Well, that's a bargain, because some places it's $50 a month. So.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And in Texas, you'll have to pay $600 or $700 just to get it removed, even though you could pay an electrician, a private electrician, $100 to do it. So.
That's
nice. But anyway, there's also in certain provinces in Canada, they've actually ordered the electric smart meters to be taken off the houses because they've had such a increase in electric fires started by the smart meters.
Yeah, so, Pennsylvania had a bunch of those. There was a cluster of fires in Pennsylvania, and so that really is a problem, a different kind of problem. But even the electromagnetic problem is really deadly, because people don't realize that that their environment's changed and they are at really higher risk for cancer.
As far as other things you can do for your house, I think that a simple thing that everybody should be doing is taking their outside shoes off at the door and putting on their inside shoes at the door, and only wearing the inside shoes indoors. Certain cultures, like the Japanese, have done that for millennia, and they have a better health as a result of that. There was an interesting study done by the Environmental Protection Agency where they were collecting tissue samples from patients up in the Northeast and found that they still had high levels of DDT in their tissues. And they said, "How is this happening?" So they went into the houses of those that had elevated tissue samples of DDT and measured the air inside the houses and found that the air inside the house had high levels of DDT. They said, "Well, how is it getting into the air?" So they analyzed the carpet, and it was higher in the carpet than it was in the air. Then they analyzed the soles of the shoe and found out it was higher on the soles of the shoe than it was on the carpet. Then they analyzed the grass outside in the yard and found it was higher in the grass outside the yard than it was on the shoes. So the DDT that has a half-life in the soil of 50 years was sprayed on the soil in the yard 50 years ago, has grown up into the grass, and now gets tracked into the house on the shoes and into the carpet. And then when you vacuum the carpet, you aerosolize it into the air, and then you breathe it in, and then your lungs become the filter for your air in the house.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's a very interesting study. And that would, you know, indicate that maybe you shouldn't get down on your carpet and do your exercises. You know, your
maybe you shouldn't have carpet at all.
Exactly. Yeah, really. That's
another
thing.
Have only washable rugs, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about testing for mold and mycotoxins in the body and in the environment.
Yeah. I like when somebody suspects that they might have mold or fungus issues for their health, and there's a whole long list of symptoms that can be present, all the way from fatigue to, brain fog and blurred vision and, a variety of other symptoms. But if a person suspects that they might have mold or fungus in their body, even though they haven't seen mold or fungus in their house with their eyes or smelled it with their nose, they should probably still do at least some type of screening test. The one I like the best is off of Richie Schumacher's website called survivingmold.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called a visual contrast sensitivity test, and it's not foolproof, but if you take that, if you pay $15 online and take that test online and get it scored online, the whole process takes less than 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and you flunk that test, there's a very high probability that you have mycotoxins in your body. The mycotoxins may have been breathed in the air and come in from the environment, or they may be growing inside your body in the mold and fungus that's growing inside your body.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't tell you which, but if you flunk that test, you probably need to look a lot harder, in your environment and also inside your body for mold and fungus issues.
Let me tell you something interesting about that test. We actually do that test here on all the women that come in with silicone or saline breast implant problems. If
mm-hmm.
the right breast implant has mold in it, but the left doesn't, and we see this, we see the mold in one side but not in the other, only the right eye will be affected. The
mm-hmm.
the toxin actually stays on the same side of the body. Or if they have mold in their left sinus but not in their right, only the left eye is affected. And I want to tell people that when you get twitching around your eye, that's often mold biotoxin.
Mm-hmm.
That twitching that the doctors inject with Botox, that's
yep.
probably not the best thing to do. All you're doing is masking the fact that you have mold biotoxin.
Yeah. Well, a lot of our symptoms are basically like the light flashing on the dashboard of the car. And
right.
most allopathic physicians' attitude is, we'll just take a hammer and smash the light so it stops
that's
flashing.
Right.
And that's basically the pharmaceutical
true.
Drug that they give to cover up that symptom. And
right.
really, we should be looking at our symptoms and trying to analyze the symptoms and see if we can figure out what's causing those symptoms. And then if you do that, usually get at the root causes of disease and resolve those.
Yeah, not get cancer, because cancer is often the result of just covering up the symptoms.
Yeah, on the topic of the eye being affected on the same side as the fungal filled breast implant, years ago I noticed that some patients that came to the practice had a myeltosis in one eye, the little lid droop in one eye,
mm-hmm.
and so when I analyzed by electrodermal screening and by kinesiology, I found that the patients always had a toxic focus in the jaw or the sinuses or the tonsil on that same
right.
side. And so it's another little clue that we should look at on physical exam that allopathic medicine pretty much overlooks.
Right. The patients here have quite a bit of difficulty, because often it is a house or environmental source, sometimes even the car, that
mm-hmm.
caused them to breathe in the mold and
mm-hmm.
have it eventually land around a breast implant or any other foreign body.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably all foreign bodies equally can get mold growing in the biofilm around them.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we remove the offending implant and treat them with antifungals, if they go back into the environment, even if it's just once a week, I mean, it doesn't have to be their house. it can just be somewhere they visit once a week, they will get ill again because mm-hmm. they're breathing in the biotoxin. So I'm using, I've had Dr. Richie Shoemaker on the show several times, obviously, because he's a wealth of information, but he, you know, we usually use his TGF beta 1 lab test to determine if the mold is just in the patient, the levels are around 5,000, 6,000. But if it's in the environment, they go up above 10,000. Because when you breathe in that biotoxin, you just get huge levels of change mm-hmm. with that lab test. And unfortunately, there's not a particular test for the biotoxin. We have to do it through a secondary test, like TGF beta 1. We don't have a primary test.
Yeah, when I wrote the book, I tried to keep it as simple as possible, and you know, if I could find something that somebody could do on their own at home, either through mm-hmm. their internet or through, you know, through some other simple means, then I included that in the book. A lot of stuff, like the specific laboratory testing that doctors would need to pursue, I intentionally left out of the book because.
Yeah.
It's just such a massive topic. I could have written a book, you know, probably 10 times longer than the book we wrote, but people
right.
get intimidated by large books, so I wanted to try to keep it, you know, down around 100 to 125 pages.
And yeah, so, no, it's a great book for the lay person. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And you say your second book is coming out soon? Because I'd like to have you back on for that
about another week or two. Foods that fit a unique you. There's all kinds of diets in the... in the health food stores or on the
mm-hmm.
On the internet or books that are out there on Amazon, you know, just all you have to do is eat these foods or don't eat these foods and you'll be fine. But what I found is that there isn't a diet that fits everybody.
No, there isn't. You're right.
Yes. So what I wanted people to understand is that if you can identify who you are biochemically, then you can figure out what is the right dietary components for you as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, you know, tools in that book to teach people how to do that. And it's a little bit longer book than the detox book. I think it's about 150 pages, maybe 175, but it's still mm-hmm. it's still very readable and very usable by the general public. That was another goal is for each of these books in the Journey to Wellness series, is to make them something that anybody with a grade school education could probably read and understand.
So would you like to give your contact information?
Yes. Yeah. The way that people that are listening can contact me is through the academy with which I work. It's ACIM Connect, CONNECT.com. So that stands for the Academy of Comprehensive Integrative Medicine, Connect.com. ACIM Connect.com is a Panamanian-based company that I work for, and they still have freedom of speech down there. And there's a host of information on there. There's a lot of free webinars and free courses that have been archived for people to look at. So we have memberships for general public, memberships for the health professionals. There's one membership for the general public that's free, another membership that's called the Frenzy Academy. So with the Frenzy Academy, they get a lot of other benefits that they may want to look at. But on that website, we do have a place to order the book. It's also available off of Amazon, but Amazon usually says that it's back-ordered.
So great.
I guess that's
a good problem to
a
have.
Good thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But usually we have people coming, getting frustrated with Amazon and coming to the website to order. And it's actually a little less expensive off the website than it is off Amazon. And I don't know if you have practitioners listening, but what some practitioners have done have read the book is say, I really should be giving one of these out to every one of my patients so that they can at least have that information as a mm-hmm. starting place. And then when they come back, we can discuss the things in the book that are applicable to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sell to practitioners at a volume discount, a wholesale price, so that they can either pass that savings along to the patients or sell it for whatever the patients could get it off the internet without having to pay the shipping cost.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So we're coming up at the end of our hour here. Do you have some advice you'd like to give to our listening audience? Any words of wisdom?
Yes, I would say don't do nothing. Start doing something related to detoxification. Because some people say, well, it's overwhelming, it's too daunting, it's too much. Well, if you take that attitude and do nothing, then you're never going to make any headway.
Right.
So you need to start somewhere. You know, get the book, read the book, learn what simple things you can do at home, like how to clean up your house first and stop bringing toxins into your house, and how you can stop putting more toxins into your body. And then once you have understood that part, then learn how to start getting some toxins out of your body, get the backlog out. But you know, I'm 62 years old, and I had an objective test the other day to find out my biological age, and I was 40 years old. But I've been doing this for 30. I've been doing what I'm talking about for 30 years. So, you know, I'm keeping my physiological age down where it's you know, very reasonable, and not having the same physiological age as chronological age. And I think anybody that's listening can do that as well.
Right. Great. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. I look forward to interviewing you on the other two books in this series as they come out. What you're writing about is extremely important for the health of our nation, and I'm just looking forward to a point when perhaps the rest of medicine can appreciate how important these concepts are.
Yeah, well, we just need to get you know, people to join in with our movement, if you will, the integrative medicine movement, to, you know, whether that's being you know, free member in the academy, or whether it's you know, a health professional that becomes a premier member and really you know, starts working closely with us in creating the fellowship and in teaching the courses and so on. So we'd love for you to teach a course for us in the academy, and you know. Yeah, the nice thing about that is that the practitioners, you know, get paid a royalty for every course of theirs that sells. So they create a perpetuity. They create an income stream so that they can actually then have the freedom to not work so many hours per week, but they can spend more time in either with family or with other worthwhile endeavors. And I think this is something that you know, that the that should be pursued by all. You know, the integrative, you know, the allopathic medicine model isn't really working very well. If you have a gunshot wound or a motor vehicle accident, you can go to the, you know, the trauma center and get a pretty good help there. But if you have a chronic illness, I would much prefer to be treated in a you know, a backwoods hospital in China than by the allopathic hospital in the United States for a chronic illness like cancer or other things. You know, when I went to Beijing, I found that they were treating cancer with 10% of the dose that we use in this country, but they were combining it with you know, herbs that they determined by pulse taking, and they were combining it with acupuncture, and the cancers were just melting away rapidly, and patients were getting no adverse effects. You know, those studies will never be done in this country because all the research for that kind of stuff is paid for by the pharmaceutical industry, and they're not going to pay for something that's going to sell only 10% of the drugs that they're selling right now.
We need to have another
way to do the research and another way to prove what we're doing.
Yeah, we certainly do. Well, I'll investigate that today, and I'll get in touch with you as well on some of the other things we were talking about. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a wealth of information, and I encourage people to get your book and sign up at the Academy. Would you give the information one more time, the information about how they can sign up online?
Yeah, they can sign up online, or they can contact me through this same place. But the website is www.acimconnect, That stands for the Academy of Comprehensive Integrated Medicine, connect.com. And, you know, they can order the book there, they can become a free member there, they can be a friend of the Academy there, or they can become a health professional or premier member there. And we really want people that that have a passion for this, for themselves and for their family, to join us, because we think we've got something good going. We just need to, you know, build the momentum.
Great. Well, thanks a lot, Dr. Cowden. I really appreciate you joining us today. We will be coming back next week. We've interviewed George Lobono, Alien Mind, The Thought and Behavior of Extraterrestrials, and Dr. Hildy Staninger is going to be on the next week discussing detoxification. Connie Strassum is on the next week, Create a Toxin-Free Body and Home Starting Today. Again, thank you for joining us at Temple of Health Radio Show. Join us next week.